Today we're going to discuss the Daf Yomi, Daf Tzadi Aleph 91a, Masechet Chulin. This chapter in the Masechta is entitled chapter Perek Gid Hanoshe. The Gid Hanoshe, as we know, is the sciatic nerve. The chapter discusses the laws of the sciatic nerve and the source for the prohibition and the various other issues involved. We know that one of the mitzvot is that as Jews we are prohibited from eating the gid hanoshe, the sciatic nerve of an animal. Just to review our anatomy, the gid hanoshe, the sciatic nerve, is the largest nerve of the body, and it branches off of the backside of the chut ha-shidra, the spinal cord, and spreads throughout the leg, innervating through its many offshoots a great majority of the muscles of the leg, of all parts of the leg. Now, the source for the prohibition to eat the gid hanoshe is in Parshas Vayishlach. We know the story about how Yaakov Avinu was left by himself, and the Sar Shel Esav, the ministering angel of Esav, his brother, came to wage a battle with him. And while Yaakov triumphed in this conflict, the angel managed to cause bodily harm to him, to his thigh, to his gid hanoshe, and he had a permanent injury. He limped away from there, and because of that, we do not. The verse says in Parshas Vayishlach that we do not eat gid hanoshe, the sciatic nerve, until this day. Now we're not going to go into the homiletical interpretations and the deeper meanings and symbolicism behind this prohibition. We're going to discuss just a very fine point that's related to this prohibition of gid hanoshe. Now it's interesting to note that most of the mitzvot in the Torah, an overwhelming majority of the mitzvot of the Torah, appear in the Torah after the narrative about the giving of the Torah, which is logical. At Har Sinai, the time that the Torah was given to the Jewish people, so the Jewish people that was really the birth of the nation, and the mitzvahs from that point on applied, and so an overwhelming majority of the mitzvahs were given at the time the Torah was given, logically. There were a few mitzvahs that were given at the time that the Jews left Mitzrayim, such as the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and all of the mitzvahs involved with the Korban Pesach, and a few other mitzvahs that were given on the way to Har Sinai, but an overwhelming majority, like I said, of mitzvot were given at Har Sinai. There are a very, very few mitzvot that were given even before the Exodus from Egypt. One of these mitzvot is the mitzvah to refrain from eating the gid hanoshe. Another mitzvah, for example, is the mitzvah of peru or avu, to be fruitful and multiply, the mitzvah of reproducing. Now, and this raises an interesting question. Since the mitzvah of gid hanoshe was given before the Torah was given, and before the Jewish people were formally born, so to speak, even though our forefathers were there, but they weren't technically Jews. There was no Torah yet in the world. They weren't technically Jews. So since this mitzvah was given before the Torah was given, before there was a Jewish people, what is the implication to whom this mitzvah applies? Does it apply actually to Bnei Noach? Because Yaakov and his sons, at the time the mitzvah was given, had a status of a Ben Noach, not the status of a Jew. So this is what we're going to address today, and some very interesting applications and implications, and maybe some practical implications as well. Let's take a look in the Gemara, page Tzadi Aleph, Amud Aleph, 91a, in Masechet Chulin, near the bottom. The Gemara here is discussing the verses of the incident involving Yaakov being left alone and fighting with the angel and being injured, and the source for the Isser of Gid Hanoshe. And as an aside, it discusses other verses. Now, Rabbi Yossi bar Bichanina says, Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Bichanina, my dichsiv. What does it mean when the verse says, "Utvoach tevach v'hachein"? Rabbi Yossi Bar Bichanina quotes a verse from the incident involving Yosef. When Yosef was appointed as the viceroy of Egypt, and he was, and his brothers came down to Egypt, when they came the second time, and they still didn't know that it was their brother to whom they were speaking, he invited them to dine with him. And his intentions, the commentators explain what his intentions were. He wanted to see whether they had done sincere teshuva, repentance for the sin they had done with him, of selling him and wanting to kill him. We're not going to get into that whole parsha now. But when he invited them to dine with him, so he told the people in charge of his house, his servants, or specifically his sons who were his helpers there, his assistants, he said, slaughter for them a slaughtered animal and prepare for them food. So it's interesting, and this is Rabbi Yossi Bar Bichanina's what he's bothered with. Why does the Torah record the seemingly trivial words of Yosef to his servants to prepare the food? What's the point in telling us what Yosef said when he told them to prepare the food? Because it's there that they dined with him. Why does the verse have to tell us that what he told them when he told them to prepare the food? So Rabbi Yossi Bar Bichanina says that the Torah is telling us something very important. He's telling us that when Yosef said Utzvoach Tevach, he was telling his servants to show to them Pera Lahen Beis Hashrita, show to them the place on the animal where the animal was slaughtered, his neck. Show my brothers, they don't know that I'm their brother right now, but show my brothers that this animal is properly slaughtered. And then he said V'hachein, and prepare for them. This means Tol Gid HaNosha Bifnehem, take out the Gid HaNosha from the animal's leg in front of them. And the Gemara continues, Kemanda Amar Gid HaNosha Nesar Livne Noach. This interpretation of the verse is in accordance with the opinion that says that the Gid HaNosha is prohibited to Bnei Noach. Because otherwise, why was Yosef being so careful to take out the Gid HaNosha? They didn't have the status yet of Jews. It must be that even non-Jews, B'nai Noach, are prohibited from eating the Gid HaNosha. That's the Gemara's inference from this verse. Now, the opinion that says that the Gid HaNosha applies to B'nai Noach is expressed later in the Masechta, in a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Amud Beis 100b. But Rabbi Yossi Bar Bichanina is providing support for that opinion from this verse. Now, we have a question here. All of the Rishonim ask this question. Rabbi Yossi Bar Bichanina is proving from this verse that the Isra of Gid HaNosha applies to B'nai Noach. But one second. He said he himself understood that there were two things being taught in this verse. Number one, that Yosef wanted to show the brothers that the animal was properly slaughtered with Shechita. And number two, that the Gid HaNosha was properly removed. So why are we inferring only that the Gid HaNosha is usher to B'nai Noach? Maybe we can infer from here that Shechita is a requirement for B'nai Noach. That non-Jews must eat meat that is properly slaughtered. Maybe that's also an implication here. So Rashi already says, no, we cannot infer that from the statement, because Shechita, they observed the laws of Shechita because they observed all of the laws of the Torah, because they were the sons of Yaakov, they were holy, and even though the Torah hadn't been given yet, they knew what the mitzvahs were, and they obeyed the mitzvahs. How they knew what the mitzvahs were, and what the implications of this, that they observed all the mitzvahs, is a different discussion, which we've written about in other places. I'm not going to get into that now. But the point here is, Rashi says that we cannot infer that Shechita applies to non-Jews, because they were acting as Jews when Yosef showed them that the animal was properly slaughtered. But if this is the case, so then we have another question. Because if they were acting as Jews, and that's why they were eating only properly slaughtered meat, then how can we prove from here that the Isra of Gid HaNosha applies to non-Jews? We're trying to prove from here that since Yosef showed them that the Gid HaNosha was properly removed, even before the Torah was given, that the Gid HaNosha applies to non-Jews. But Rashi says that they observed the laws of Shechita because they were acting like Jews. So maybe they observed the laws of Gid HaNosha because they were acting like Jews. That's the question. Now, there are a number of answers to this question. Let's look in Tosfos. Tosfos Divrei Machil Kiman. Tosfos says, Ve'im Tomar, and if you ask, Dilma lo nesar, maybe not forbidden to non-Jews, Rafi lohochi, Chayim Mekayimin Kimo Shechita. Nevertheless, they were observing the mitzvah of Gin HaNosha like they were observing the mitzvah of Shechita, because they wanted to act in accordance with the mitzvahs of the Torah, but not because non-Jews are required to observe these mitzvahs. V'yesh lomar, midekomar v'hachin, mashma debalav hachi lo mystery. Tosfos gives two answers here. The first answer is that he just infers from the word v'hachin, the word that Yosef used when he told his servants to prepare the meat, he said v'hachin, prepare it. That implies that it's an absolutely necessary form of preparation, like cooking the meat. Just like you have to cook the meat in order to eat it, you also have to remove the gina nusha in order to eat it. Since it's an absolutely necessary preparation, this implies that they observed this mitzvah not because they were doing something beyond the letter of the law and acting like Jews even before the Torah was given, but because they were non-Jews, and simply the mitzvah of gina nusha applies to non-Jews. That's his first answer. The second answer, which we're going to discuss more at length, says, V'inami, alternatively, Tosu says, no, they did not keep the mitzvahs like Jews. They did not keep the mitzvahs like Jews, either because he holds that they didn't keep mitzvahs like the Jews altogether, because the Torah wasn't given. Could be Tosu holds like the Ramban. The Ramban in the Parsha says that the Avos observed the mitzvahs, but only when they were in their Eretz Yisrael. When they were outside of Eretz Yisrael, they weren't particular to observe the mitzvot. So here, the brothers were outside of Eretz Yisrael. They were in Egypt. So either way, Tosfos is understanding that here, the brothers and Yosef were not observing the mitzvot like Jews. And therefore, we can infer from the fact that Yosef prepared the meat by taking out the Gid HaNosha, that the Isra of Gid HaNosha applies to non-Jews. Now, why did he show them that it was properly shechted, it was properly slaughtered? So Tosa says, he wasn't showing them that it was slaughtered with a Jewish shechita, with all of the laws of the Jewish shechita, but rather he was just showing them that nechira was done. What is nechira? Nechira refers to just killing the animal, killing the animal through human intervention, as opposed to an animal that dies by itself. So in other words, Tosa is saying that a law that applies to non-Jews, besides the law of the Gid HaNosha, is that a non-Jew is not allowed to eat meat from an animal that died by itself. He can only eat meat, just like a Jew can only eat meat that was properly slaughtered. A non-Jew can only eat meat that was killed through human intervention and then didn't die by itself. Now, we've never heard of such a thing. Certainly, the board of directors of McDonald's and Burger King and all the other popular meat places also have not heard of such a thing. Now, I don't know exactly what the government regulations are in America. I assume that when an animal is found to be dead in the herd, they either do an autopsy on it to make sure it doesn't have any diseases, and then they send it on to the slaughterhouse to be processed as meat, or they do something else with the animal. I don't know if any one of you knows what the commercial meat market does with an animal that's found to be dead and is not killed in whatever way that the commercial non-Jewish meat market kills animals. Please inform me. But this has practical implications. Is a non-Jew allowed to eat meat from an animal that died by itself, or can he only eat meat that came from an animal that was killed through human intervention? That's one question. That's a practical implication. Now, we can ask two very basic questions. What is the source for this? We know that there are Shiva mitzvahs ben Noach. There are seven Noahide laws. Not to kill, not to steal, not to serve idolatry, not to blaspheme, not to have incestual relationships, not to eat a limb from a live animal, Eber Min Chai, and to set up a system of courts and jurisprudence. Now, nowhere do we find that there's a law that a non-Jew, a ben Noach, must eat meat from an animal that was killed and not an animal that died by itself. Where is the source for such a law? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nanzayin, and Ches, it discusses at length the laws of the mitzvot of B'nai Noach, mentions no such law, and in none of the sources that discuss the laws of B'nai Noach do we find such a law. Second of all, we seem to find the opposite. The Torah in Parshas Re'eh says, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Chof Aleph, Lo Sochlu Chol Nevela, you may not eat any nevela. A nevela is an animal that died by itself. Lager asher bisharecha titnena v'achala, o machor l'nachri. To the non-Jew who is living with you, you shall give it and he will eat it, or you can sell it to a non-Jew. So this verse clearly states that a non-Jew is allowed to eat a nevela. And what is a nevela? A nevela is an animal that died by itself. So our two questions are, what is the source for Tosos' statement that a non-Jew may only eat meat from an animal that died through human intervention, not one that died by itself? And second, how do we reconcile the apparent contradiction to this from the verse in Parshas Re'eh that says that a Jew is supposed to sell or give his nevela meat to a non-Jew? Now, one way to reconcile this question, actually, we should mention one more question, a very interesting point. Tosus in Sanhedrin, Nun Vav Amaveh 56b, Divra Masa L'chol Tochal, mentioned that the very first man, Adam HaRishon, was not allowed to kill animals. When he was created, he was not allowed to kill any animals. This has important implications, profound implications, and we're not going to discuss that now. But the Tosfos, he was allowed to eat an animal that he found that it died by itself. So clearly, Tosfos there in Sanhedrin says that a non-Jew of Ben Noach is allowed to eat an animal that died by itself. So how can Tosfos here say that it's prohibited for a non-Jew to eat an animal that died by itself? Now, some Achronim explain, and indeed we actually find this explicitly written in other Rishonim, that Tosfos does not mean to say that a non-Jew is not allowed to eat meat from an animal that died by itself. Tosfos' intention is to say that a non-Jew is not allowed to eat meat of Eiver Min HaChai, of a limb that came from a live animal. Now we know is true. That we know is one of the seven mitzvos of B'nai Noach. When Tosfos says that he showed them the Beis HaShechita, that is, to show them that the animal was killed with nechira, with human intervention, shenitzavu al nechira, because non-Jews are commanded to eat meat from an animal that was killed with nechira, he means in order to show that it wasn't Eiver Min HaChai. In other words, Yosef, when he told his servants to show them that the animal had been properly killed with nechira, it wasn't because non-Jews must eat an animal, only an animal that was properly killed, but because he was showing them that it wasn't an Eiver Min HaChai. It wasn't the animal, the limb that they were eating, the meat that they were eating, did not come from a live animal. The animal was certainly dead. And the Gemara mentioned Nechira simply because that's the most common, ordinary way to make sure the animal is dead, by killing it. Now, even if the animal would have died by itself, and he would have showed them that it was dead, that also would have sufficed to make sure that it was not Eiver Min HaChai. So this is what the Rosh Yosef and others want to say that Tosfos means. And in fact, this is explicitly written in the words of Tosfos HaRosh, who adds the words after the words that we finish off with in Tosfos here, Shenitzavu al HaNechira. Tosfos HaRosh adds the words, Shelo Lechol Eiver Min HaChai, that the whole point of killing an animal before eating it is to make sure that it's entirely dead, and it's not Eiver Min HaChai, so that the non-Jew is not transgressing the Isser against eating a limb from a live animal. This is also clearly written in the Chiddush Aran and in the Rashbah. So that seems to be the intention of Tosfos. And now Tosfos does not contradict his words in Sanhedrin when he says that Adam HaRishon was allowed to eat an animal that had died on its own. A non-Jew certainly is allowed to eat an animal that died by its own. There's no requirement for him to kill it in any way. He just has to make sure that the animal is not alive, because when he takes off a limb to eat it, because otherwise he'll be transgressing the prohibition of Eiver Min HaChai. Now, according to this approach of Tosos, that in fact the brothers, the sons of Yaakov, brothers and Yosef, did not observe the mitzvahs as Jews, but had observed the mitzvahs as Bnei Noach, we can add an interesting point. We find in Parshas Miket in Parshas Vayeshev that in the beginning of the Parsha, the Torah tells us that Yosef brought the Bosom Ra'ah El Aviyam. He brought a bad report about what his brothers were doing to his father. And this is one of the things that caused the brothers to have enmity towards Yosef, and which eventually led, after him, he related his dreams to them, eventually led to their desire to get rid of him. So what was this Dibasam Ra, this is the bad reports about them that he brought to their father? So Rashi there says, there were three things that he reported to his father. The first of these three things was that they ate Eiver Min HaChai. The brothers were eating limbs from a live animal, which not even a non-Jew is allowed to do, because that's one of the Shiva Mitzvahs B'nai Noah. Now that's a very serious accusation, and we know that the sons of Yaakov were certainly great tzaddikim, and certainly would not go against the will of God. So what does it mean that he said that they were, and we know that Yosef wouldn't just come up with silly stories and lies, so what does it mean that Rashi says from the Midrash that he reported that they were eating Eiver Min HaChai? So a number of the commentators explain that it wasn't a clear-cut Eiver Min HaChai. Rather, what the brothers were doing was they were shechting the animal, they were slaughtering it properly with a Jewish shechita, with a proper Jewish shechita, and then immediately they would cover up the animal and go and cook it and eat it. Now there's a halacha, which we learned about earlier in Chulin, of Mifar Cheseth. Mifar Cheseth means an animal that is still moving, his limbs or his muscles are still contracting, but the animal is not halachically technically alive. After Shechita, after the esophagus and the trachea and the major aortas are cut in the neck, so there's some reflexual movement of the animal that occurs for a small amount of time before the animal is completely still and is visibly dead. The halacha is that after shechita, after a Jew shechts an animal, even while it's still moving around, twitching or convulsing, it's permitted to eat the animal at that stage. However, for a non-Jew, it is prohibited to eat an animal at that stage, because the shechita is a Jewish law. It permits the animal to be eaten by a Jew, but not to be eaten by a nochri, a non-Jew, a ben noach. The ben noach needs to wait until the animal is entirely still and has stopped moving and is visibly no longer living. So, according to that, the brothers of Yosef, they maintained that they had the status of Jews because they were following the mitzvos, and they were the sons of Yaakov and the grandsons of Yitzhak, the great-grandsons of Abraham Avinu. They maintained that they were Jews, and therefore it was permitted for them to eat an animal even while it was in the convulsing stage after they did a Jewish shechita. Yosef argued and maintained that they had the status of non-Jews. They did not have the status of Jews, even though they might have been observing the mitzvos as Jews. But they had the status of non-Jews. And as such, an animal that was still convulsing was prohibited for them to eat with the prohibition of Eiver Min HaChai. So it was a very, very deep and technical argument between the brothers and Yosef. It wasn't a petty conflict, Yosef lying, or the brothers, Chas v'Shalom, doing something that clearly was forbidden. Rather, the brothers maintained they had the status of Jews, and therefore they were permitted to eat such an animal, meat from such an animal, while Yosef maintained that they had the status of non-Jews, and therefore they were not permitted to eat the meat of such an animal. And therefore he went to his father to complain about them, that they were acting like Jews. He was complaining they were acting like Jews and eating meat from an animal that was still moving after Shechita. Now, many years later, when the brothers encountered Yosef, not knowing that he was Yosef, encountered him thinking that he was the non-Jewish viceroy of the most powerful nation in the world at the time, Egypt, Yosef did a number of things to hint to the brothers either who he was, so that they wouldn't be shocked, so shocked when he revealed himself to them, or he made certain hints to them to remind them about the necessity to do tshuva, to repent for what they had done to him many, many years before. It could be that in preparing the meal for them that he invited to in his palace dining room, this was his intention. He said to his servant, show them where the animal was shechted. In other words, show them the animal is completely dead, is not moving, and therefore they can now eat the animal. Yosef was telling them, show them that they have to wait, like I held all along many years before, they have to wait until the animal is completely stopped moving in order to eat it, because they have the status of non-Jews and not the status of Jews. So that could be the intention here of Yosef, according to this understanding of the verse of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina, when he said, show them the Beis Hashrita, show them that the animal is completely dead, and therefore is not Eiver Minachai. Now, let's move on. Are there any questions until now? Okay, I'll continue. Okay, we're still on Sadi Aleph Amud Aleph. On the bottom of the daf, it's about 5 or 6 lines from the bottom. And at this point, we've concluded that there's no requirement for non-Jews to have to eat meat from an animal that was killed by human intervention. It's permitted for them to eat meat of an animal that died on their own. However, there are some commentators that point out that Tosos' words here are to be taken literally. Tosos really means to say that the non-Jews are prohibited from eating nevela, meat from an animal that died on its own, and they must do nechira to an animal if they want to eat the meat. Those commentators say that there's a source for this in one of the Midrashim, an early Midrash, the Pesikta de Rav Kahana. The Pesikta de Rav Kahana is a Midrash which quotes the verse in Parshas Noach. The verse in Parshas Noach, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Perek Tes, Pasuk Gimel, says, Kol Remes Asher Hu Chai, Lochem yet leochla, ki yerek esef, nosati lohem eskol. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, like the green grass that I've given you everything. So the Psikta derives from this verse that a Nochri, a Ben Noach, is not permitted to eat a living thing that has died on its own. He may only eat a living thing after he kills it with his own hands, after it's been killed by human intervention. This is the derivation of the Pesikta from this verse. Now, we certainly don't find this Midrash cited by any of the halachic authorities. Tosfos here doesn't even mention it. It certainly is not the halacha. But the question is, why? Why is it not the halacha? If there's clearly a verse, according to the Midrash in Parshas Noach, that says that a non-Jew may not eat the meat of an animal that died, so why isn't it reckoned with in the halakhic authorities? So the simple answer is that we don't follow this midrash. There's other midrash and there's other ways to understand the verse. This midrash is a minority opinion, and we know that whenever the minority opinion conflicts with a majority opinion, we follow the majority. But still, we need, let's see if we can reckon with this Midrash and give an answer that even according to this Midrash, we'll find a way for Bnei Noach to eat meat from animals that died by themselves. And also, according to this Midrash, how are we going to understand the verse that we mentioned earlier from Parshas Re'eh that says that a Jew may not eat nevela, an animal that died on its own, but he may give the animal to a nochri, to a non-Jew? It says clearly that a nochri may eat an animal that died by itself. How are we to understand that verse according to the Pesikta, the Midrash? So, this last question, we can answer based on the words of the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel on the verse in Re'eh translates the word nevela as the mekalkila benichta, an animal whose kashrus was ruined through an improper shvita. Nevela, he translates again as the mekalkila benichta, that was ruined through the shrita, literally. The Targum understands that nevela is not an animal necessarily that died on its own. A nevela is an animal that there was an attempt to sheft it properly, to slaughter it properly, but the shrita was not done properly, and that rendered the animal a nevela. So such an animal may be given, the verse says, may be given to a nochri, to a non-Jew, and a Jew may not eat it. But according to that, there's no indication in the verse that a non-Jew may eat an animal that died by itself. Perhaps a non-Jew is also prohibited from eating an absolute nevela, an animal that died by itself. So that's one way to reconcile the verse in Parshas Re'eh with the ruling of the Pesikta that a nochri and ben Noach may not eat an animal, meat from an animal that died by itself. However, there's another approach that we can take, and this approach is recorded by the Kilos Yaakov, the great Stifler Gaon, in the name of the Sefer Neot Yaakov, who answers as follows. Yes, one of our listeners says that eating an animal that dies by itself is dangerous. That's certainly true. That's why I mentioned earlier that I don't know what the government regulations are in America and other places about such animals. It could be they do autopsies on the animal to determine whether the animal is dangerous or not, because as you know, a meat cow that dies is a considerable loss to the farm. It's worth quite a lot of money, so I'm sure that they take many steps to figure out a way to permit the animal to enter the market. Okay. As you can read the comments that are being expressed here. I'm not familiar with these things. But let's go on now to this answer. So again, the question is, what does the Pesikta mean that non-Jews may not eat an animal that died by itself? Is there some requirement of killing the animal, like a Jew has a requirement of shechita? Does a non-Jew have a requirement also to kill the animal? We don't find any such requirement in any of the halachic authorities. Why is that? So now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Nuntes on 59a teaches a very interesting principle. The Gemara there says that every mitzvah, as we mentioned earlier, a few mitzvahs are mentioned before the giving of the Torah. In the Torah, there are a few mitzvahs in Sefer Bereishis and a few mitzvahs in Sefer Shmos before Parshas Yisro in the history. In our history, that were given to us before the giving of the Torah. These mitzvos also applied to non-Jews, because they were given to us as non-Jews, to Bnei Noach. The Gemara says that any mitzvah that was given before the Torah was given at Sinai, and was repeated at Sinai, applies only to Jews, and also applies to non-Jews. Every mitzvah that was given before the giving of the Torah and was repeated at the time the Torah was given applies both to non-Jews and to Jews. So the mitzvah that was given before the giving of the Torah applies to non-Jews, and the mitzvah when it was repeated at Har Sinai, at Sinai, was given to was given to the Jews. So both the non-Jews and the Jews have such a mitzvah. One example of this, I guess, would be the mitzvah of Piru Urevu. The non-Jews also have a mitzvah, according to some authorities, of Piru Urevu, of reproducing and populating the earth, just like the Jews have that mitzvah. Now, there's also mitzvahs that were given before Matan Torah, before the giving of the Torah, but were not repeated at Har Sinai. The Gemara says that such mitzvahs are given only to Jews and not to Bnei Noach. When the mitzvah was originally given, many years before the giving of the Torah, so it was given to all of Bnei Noach, but then when the Torah was given, and the mitzvah was not repeated, so that shows that the mitzvah now applies only to Jews and not to non-Jews. One example of this could be Gid HaNoshe, like we started off with. The Gid HaNoshe was given, this was given in the time of Bnei Yaakov, and it was not repeated at Har Sinai, so that indicates that the mitzvah now only applies to Jews and not to non-Jews. Others explain that the mitzvah was not given at the time of Yaakov Avinu. The mitzvah was only given later at Har Sinai to the Jews, and it was when Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe, he wrote the source, the reason, the basis for the mitzvah, so he put it in Parshas Vayishlach with regard to Yaakov Avinu, but not that the mitzvah was actually given in the times of Yaakov Avinu. That's what the other opinion will hold with regard to the mitzvah of Gid HaNoshe. But now, let's get back to eating the prohibition to eat nevela. According to the Pesikta, we have a source for the Isser of eating nevela in Parshas Noach. In the verse that we read, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. That is the prohibition to non-Jews against eating an animal died by itself. Now, was that prohibition repeated at Har Sinai to Jews, or was it not repeated? If it was repeated, so then, according to what we said, the principle that we said from the Gemara and Sanhedrin, the mitzvah of Nevela would then apply both to non-Jews and to Jews. If it was not repeated, so then that would indicate that the mitzvah applies only to Jews now, not to non-Jews. So, it seems that the mitzvah was repeated, because we read in Parshas Re'eh, it says, Lo Sochlu called Nevela. The mitzvah was given to the Jews not to eat any Nevela. So, it seems to have been repeated. The truth of the matter is that the Gemara learns from this verse, also in Masechet Chulin, the Gemara learns from the verse in Parshas Re'eh, not specifically that nevela, an animal died by itself, is forbidden, but rather that a Jew must shecht an animal with a proper shechita, and just breaking the simonim, the esophagus and the trachea and the animal's neck, does not suffice. This is the Gemara Sanhedrin says this. So when the Torah later in Parshas Re'eh gives the mitzvah of nevela, it's not prohibiting an animal died by itself to a Jew. It's prohibiting any animal that didn't have a proper shechita to a Jew. If so, the Torah is not repeating the Isser against eating an animal died by itself. Now, what do we say is the status of a mitzvah that was given before the Torah and it was not repeated at Har Sinai? We said that such a mitzvah, although it was originally given to Bnei Noach, since it wasn't repeated at Har Sinai, and yet it's recorded in the Torah, it applies only to Jews now and not to non-Jews. So the Isser, the prohibition against eating the Vela, was originally given to Bnei Noach in the verse that we read in Parshas Noach, but then the mitzvah was not repeated at Har Sinai, and that teaches us that the mitzvah now, the prohibition against eating an animal died by itself, applies only to Jews and not to non-Jews. So now the Pesikta is right and the halachic authorities are correct in not recording this mitzvah. The Pesikta is correct in deriving from this verse that there was an Isser, there was a prohibition against eating an animal that died by itself. And the reason why the halakhic authorities don't mention it is because the mitzvah wasn't repeated at Har Sinai, indicating that now it only applies to Jews and not to non-Jews. And the Gemara that we're discussing here is talking about the conduct of Yosef. Yosef and his brothers certainly lived before the Torah was given. And before the Torah was given, the Isser of Nevela applied to non-Jews. It was only when the Torah was given and the mitzvah was not repeated there, then the iser no longer applies to non-Jews and now applies only to Jews. So with that, we can understand the words of the Psikta. We can understand now the words of Tosfos, either saying that there actually is an obligation of Nechira for non-Jews, and Tosfos is only referring to non-Jews before the giving of the Torah in the times of Yosef. And we can now understand the halacha as well, that there's absolutely no requirement for non-Jews to kill the animal before they eat it with human intervention, although, as we mentioned, a bit safer from a sanitary, hygienic, health point of view. But there's absolutely no obligation for them, and therefore they can eat animals that died by themselves.